Matthew chapter 7.
If you could tie up and simplify our faith, what is it?
It's not rhetorical. I really can't answer this. And I'll try to make it enough where those online can understand what I'm saying. Tell me simply, what is our faith? What is it about?
Love.
Okay, love. Forgiveness, hope. All right, we got those three covered. Y'all, that's cheating. That's on the side of the building. Okay, faith, hope, love, forgiveness, grace. Okay, gratitude, thankfulness. Okay, understanding other people. Okay, security. Okay, hold on. How about sharing what? Mercy. What'd you say, Francis? Did you say something? Kindness. Perseverance. Is that what you say? Perseverance. All kind of different answers. Y'all are throwing out one word answers. Jesus gave us a verse in verse 12 that is not the totality of what we believe, but it's about how we live. What do we believe? Well, we believe that there's a God in heaven who created the world and designed each of us with a purpose and action, on purpose. You're not an accident. God made you to be here and has a plan for your life. He sent His only begotten Son, born of a virgin, to be the supreme sacrifice and only acceptable complete sacrifice for our sin. And when we put our faith in God, accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, He forgives us and cleanses us of all our sin, of all unrighteousness. And He writes our name in the book of life in heaven. And there He records the things that we do that honor Him and worship Him. And one day, whether we go by way of grave or by way of rapture, we're going to go to heaven. And when we get there, as children of God, we'll be judged. Not according to all of our sin, because our sins are washed away, but according to our stewardship with the gifts that God has given us, the things that He entrusted to us, and the greatest thing that He's ever trusted us with is this: a treasure. What do we do with it? What do we do with it? That's what we're going to be judged on. When I stand before God with my sins forgiven, it's not about the sins I've committed, whatever. I was going to name some, but I don't want y'all to get the wrong idea. It's not about that stuff. It's about whether or not I took what He gave me and did something good with it. That's what I'm going to be judged for. Now, those who don't believe, those who deny and reject the Savior, will be judged at the great white throne judgment, where every sin they've ever committed is brought up and they are judged. I don't know about you. I don't want anybody to know about my sin, to think that I would stand before the holy God and Him bring up every one of them is terrorizing to me. I don't want to be at the great white throne judgment. I want to be at the judgment seat of Christ, where none of my sins are going to be brought up. Isn't that incredible? Because all my sins are washed away. That's incredible. That's fantastic. That's what the Bible teaches. Now, beyond our eternal security and our salvation in Jesus Christ, there's something else. And that's how we treat other people. We're going to talk about that this morning. We kind of talked about it in Sunday school, ran out of time. But in verse 12, chapter 7, book of Matthew, He says this: "Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." In other words, if we took the whole Old Testament and locked it into one phrase, one verse, this is it. Now, we use the golden rule, right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's the law. It's Jesus. It's New Testament grace. But it's simple courtesy. Courtesy. Is courtesy automatic? If you think that courtesy is automatic, go to a playground sometime and watch some two-year-olds play. When they take a dump truck and hit another one in the side of the head. That's not courteous. Right? Taking toys and biting each other. But doesn't that remind you of adults sometimes? And Jesus says, is that how you want to be treated? Is that what we want people to do to us? As we would have them do to us, that's how we should do to them. What would we have them to do? Well, I don't know about you, but I like people to smile and laugh and tell me how good looking I am. And my favorite phrase in the English language, have you lost weight? By the way, I hadn't heard that in a long time. Jesus says, put yourself in their shoes. Put yourself in their shoes. If you see a need, fill it. How many of you like going to somebody and asking for money? I'm in a pinch and I can't pay my light bill, can't pay my mortgage, can't feed my family. Any of y'all want to go to somebody and ask that? No. So if you become aware of the need, meet the need. Just as you would wish somebody would do for you. Nobody wants to ask. By the way, that's not a loan. That's a gift. It's an offering. I was talking to some people on Friday. And something was brought up about, well, what if? And I said, look, we gave that to Jesus. It's in the form of a person that received it. But when we give something to someone in need, we're giving it to God. And so if the person that received it misuses it or abuses it or doesn't take care of it, that's not up to me to go and enforce and inspect and investigate. That's God. I gave it to God. The person receiving it received it as a person, but I gave it to God. So we don't worry. Don't wonder what happened to it after that. Because when we receive a gift, when we would want somebody to give to us, do we want them coming around and looking all... Isn't that truck that I gave you and you're not taking care of it? What's mine now? We don't, look, if you give it to somebody, give it to them. Be done with it. Release it. Like you would have them do if they gave it to you. So he says, whatever you would that men should do to you. How would we prefer to be treated? So we should think before we speak. How many of you have ever talked to someone a way you wouldn't want to be talked to? Before we speak and before we act, think, how would I want someone to act toward me? How would I want someone to treat me? If I were in, so I put myself in their shoes. That's what Jesus instructs us to do, to show consideration, to show empathy, to show compassion. Is that what we believe? All tied up in one verse? Is that what we believe as Christians? As Capitol Heights Baptist Church? That's what we believe. Because that's what the Bible teaches. He goes on and he says this, enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. God's way is specific. God's way is defined. God's way is narrow. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, has anybody ever heard of that? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes should not perish, but have everlasting life. One way. Go back to that verse and tell me, does it say anything about getting baptized in it? Or going to church, or giving an offering, or singing in the choir, or giving to the poor, or sheltering the homeless. Good things. But that's not the prescription to get to heaven. The way to heaven is narrow. And it's straight. It's plain. And it is Jesus Christ. We put our faith in Him and accept His forgiveness. Put our trust in Him. We surrender our lives to Him. And He washes our sins away. And that's it. Nothing added to it. It's the only way to heaven. Well, that's a narrow way. That's what it says. Yes, it's narrow. He said it was narrow. Well, that's pretty narrow-minded. He used the word narrow, didn't he? Guys, I want you to know there's an alternative. It's a broad alternative. It's just whatever you want to do. But the problem is it doesn't get you to heaven. He said, broad is the way, and many there be that go that way. But it leads to destruction. It only leads to death, hell, and the grave. They all lead to destruction. There's only one way. Guys, I'm not saying the Baptist way is the only way. I'm saying the Bible way is the only way. I'm saying Jesus is the only way. You don't have to join this church to go to heaven. It's a good thing, isn't it? It'd be kind of lonely up there with just us. You don't have to get baptized, but you've got to surrender your life to Christ. You've got to accept Him as your Savior. And so He says, it's a narrow way. Is that our faith? Is that what we believe? That's what the Bible says. So first of all, treat others the way you want to be treated. And put your faith in Christ. But he goes on. And he says in verse 15, there's going to be some people that come along with other ideas. Beware of false prophets. What do they wear? Wool. Sheep's clothing. Inwardly, though, he says they are ravening wolves. Verse 16, ye shall know them by their fruits. Jesus told His audience, watch the way people live. Pay attention to who they are. Let me say this. We are all due a bad day every once in a while. Wouldn't you agree with that? Anybody ever have a bad day and you say, I hope nobody saw that? So we take the balance of their lives, the balance of what we know about them, and we say, is this a false prophet or are they real? By the way, we're not just talking about preachers. Specifically, we're talking about leadership, but we're not just talking about leaders. He said, if you want to know if somebody's the real deal, watch the way they live. Listen to how they talk. Pay attention to their composure. Pay attention to their harvest. In other words, the fruits of their labor. See if what they have is really coming from God, coming from heaven. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Verse 17, even so every good tree brings forth good fruit. So, what happens as a result of how we live? Is it changing lives? Is it impacting people? Is it encouraging people? Is it making a difference? Y'all do remember what I said? We're not talking about the preacher. We're talking about us. Everybody. And Jesus said, watch how they live. You want to see if they're the real deal? Watch how they live. So take that in our hearts and minds and say, people are watching me. And they're trying to see if I'm a real Christian and if Christianity is real. Both. They're wanting to see if it's real. And they're wanting to see if we really believe it. And so they're looking for consistency in our lives, in our demeanor. Understand something. He's not giving us the direction to heaven in those verses. He's telling us how to show other people the way to heaven. How can we show them the way, first of all, if we don't know the way? And how can we show them the way if we're inconsistent? Well, today they're a good Christian. Tomorrow they're wicked. Look at what he says. A corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. So if the stuff we're doing is yielding bad stuff, if we're creating chaos around us, he said, that's not saved. That's not good fruit. That's not a good tree. That's not the real deal. And he says, every tree, verse 19, that bringeth forth good fruit, that bringeth not forth good fruit, is hewn down and cast into the fire. Again, he's hinting. He's hinting at what happens when we're not saved. He speaks plainly, but here, he just kind of lays it out there. I don't want to go to hell. Fire has a good purpose sometimes. You like to boil water? Need some heat. Grill a steak? Need some heat. But if it's not contained and controlled, it can destroy things. Something. The fire of hell is hotter than anything we know. And I don't want to go there. And I've made my decision not to go there. Not by how I live, but by putting my faith in Jesus Christ. Right now, where you are, you can pray from your heart to God's heart. Nobody else needs to know until you want to tell them. But right now, you can go to God and say, God, I know I'm not perfect. I know I'm a sinner. And I know Jesus died for me. And so I ask you to forgive my sins and to cleanse my soul. God, I'm going to give my life to you. In the name of Jesus. Just like that, by putting our faith in Him, He forgives our sins. He makes us His own. Now, what we make of it is up to us. Whether we apply the Word of God in our lives, that's up to us. But see, Jesus told us about what happens when our faith is not real, when it's just superficial, when it's just shallow. He says in verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. You see, there are a lot of people who pray, but they've not accepted Christ. They go to church, but they haven't accepted Christ. There are some who've even been in the waters of baptism, even have their name on the church roll. Look at what he says. They cast out devils and done many wonderful works. And they stand before God and he says, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. So introduce yourself this morning and ask his forgiveness. He goes on and he tells us about two men who built homes. And it's the difference of superficial faith and real faith. It's the difference of shallow faith, right, and digging deep. It's the difference of being saved but not serious and being saved and serious. I was saved for a long time before I got serious about God. I knew that if I died, I would go to heaven. But I wasn't enjoying my salvation and my Christianity here. I was waiting to get to heaven to enjoy God. And then one day I realized that I could enjoy God now. That I could enjoy the blessings of heaven and the favor of God here. I don't have to wait to get... I hear people say, well, when I get my settlement, when I get the lottery, well, when I retire. God, y'all are looking at things that are out there, and maybe you'll get there. Maybe you won't. But how about enjoying today and living today instead of waiting till some far-off goal? It says that if you hear the sayings and do them, I liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Verse 25, the descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Real deep faith. Faith that will sustain you, that will get us through the hard times, that will give us confidence when the doctor's report is not good, that will give us the hope when our family's not the way it should be. It'll give us hope when we just don't feel good. Because we have our faith. And then there's the other guy. Built his house on the sand. You see that in verse 26? Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and does them not, like unto a foolish man. By the way, that word foolish, maybe you could understand it better if I used the term that we've translated it to today. Moron. How many of you want to be called a moron? All right, I didn't say you had been. I said you wanted to be. Nobody wants to be called a moron. Well, look at what he says. He says, I'll liken him to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. What did he do? He just found a spot and he just built it. No planning, no research, right? You say, well, I'm going to be a Baptist. Why? Well, I don't know. You're building on the sand. How about digging deep and finding out why to be a Baptist? By the way, it's a good answer. Who baptized Jesus? See, I like that already, John the Baptist. I mean, if Jesus was baptized by a Baptist, that makes him a Baptist. You don't like it, you can talk to me later, but that's what the Bible says. Let me tell you something about Baptists. Jesus established his church while he was living on the shores of Galilee. He took people who had faith and were baptized and put them into ministry. He built his church. After the resurrection on the day of Pentecost, he empowered that church with power from on high, endued with the Holy Spirit. And that church has stayed in existence through its lineage throughout the years. The Baptists were never Catholic, never part of the Catholics. I know today is Day of Reformation. We are not Protestants. We've never been Protestants. There has always been a church of our faith, though we're not always Baptists, that existed outside of the Catholic Church. Baptists they've been Waldenses, they've been Anabaptists, because we they come from other places where they say, well, I've been baptized. And Baptists said, no, you haven't been baptized yet. And we dunk them in the water and baptize them again. That's what the word Anabaptist, rebaptizers. We've been called many things through the years. The thing that Baptist the Baptist is sticking to this book right here. Now, I will go this way. I'll tell you there's some Baptists that don't stick to that book. And there are other denominations, other faiths that are not Baptists and have never been Baptists, and they stick to this book. So I'm not maligning every other faith. But I'm telling you, we got good cause to be what we are. And you say, well, Pastor, I never heard any of that. Why? Because you didn't dig deep. The man on the rock dug deep. Again, I'm not maligning other faiths. I'm telling you, there's one way to heaven, that's Jesus. It doesn't say the only way to heaven is through the Baptist church. But make sure, if you're not going to be a Baptist, that you are in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. I've known some Baptist churches I wouldn't go to. And some I might go and call down fire from heaven and see if it works. Jesus said, the foolish man built his house without doing any digging. He built his house without looking in the background, without doing any research. He just decided it was a good place and he put up a house. By the way, in the way I tell the story, the houses look the same. Doesn't say that. Same number of windows, same number of doors, same number of bedrooms. It doesn't say that, but the intent is it wasn't the house, it was the foundation that was at fault. It wasn't the walls that were built wrong. It wasn't the roof that was built wrong. It was that it had the wrong foundation. So you may go to church and you may call yourself a Christian just like I call myself a Christian, but when the tests of life come, the storms and the winds and the rain, we're going to find out who has faith by which one still stands at the end. By the way, you may be saved and baptized and a member of this church. That's not the delineation. That's not the distinction. It's an individual investment of, we're not talking about money, an individual investment in faith. Studying, spending time with God and communion with God. That's the difference. A faith that is stable, that supports us, and is strong in life's storms. Deep faith. A faith that glorifies God. A faith that helps others. And a faith that helps us to stay strong. What do we believe? That's what we believe. Believe what the Bible says. Let's stand. If you're here this morning and you've not accepted Christ as your Savior, there's no need to wait. You can do that right now. You can put your faith in Christ and accept Him as your Savior. If you've been saved but you've never been baptized, you say, well, you say, I don't need to be baptized to go to heaven. You don't. But it is a demonstration to God that you've buried your past. Buried in the waters of baptism, risen to walk in newness of life. We've buried our past. Need to be baptized, it's a good time to make that decision. Or maybe there's some burden on your heart, some need, and you want prayer. I invite you to come. It's up to you. You can pray where you are, or you can come here and I'll pray with you. But please,